Man, hold on. I think we're live now, actually.
Says you can live stream. Got it.
There it is. There it is. Word. Yes, yes. Hit it, bro.
Tonight on the Boom Bap Chat, we welcome in Castaway. Yo, Till, let's get started, bro.
Yes, yes, yes. Let us get started tonight on the Boom Bap Chat. 114. So excited for tonight because our guest tonight is an MC, a dope MC who released one of the better albums of 2022. And that's saying a lot because this year we had a lot of great hip hop music. The album is called The Art of Tradition and it blends great presence on the mic with great boom bap beats, just the kind of hip hop we love around here. And we're going to get into that album and much more right now. Please join me. You see him on the screen if you're watching. Welcome. Join me as we welcome to the Boom Bap Chat, Castaway.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Y'all, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. It means a lot, actually, for real.
No doubt, man. Thanks for being here and thanks for your patience. Some of you have no idea what we've been through the last, 25-30 minutes to try to get this thing working. So we're just live on Facebook right now. Obviously, we're not on YouTube live, but if you're watching this on YouTube on the replay, glad that you're here. Castaway, before we jump in, man, I just want to say, the hip hop that I love, I think more than any is obviously like the boom bap sound. That's just, I grew up on it. I love that sound. But also like the lyrics. I love lyrics and content where it's like, it's authentic. It's real. It can be about things filled with like despair and like bad and like a lot of, a lot of terrible things happen in the world. And like, there's that in your music, but like, it's always sprinkled with some hope. There's always some optimism around the corner. And that's my favorite type of hip hop because it's honest, it's genuine, it's what life is, And so I just really appreciate that you bring that to the table and definitely with your new album and all your music too. So props to you for that, man.
Thank you. Man, I appreciate that because that was one of my like concerns about Art of Tradition was that it wasn't enough of that, right?
Yeah.
To telling my story or talking about what's going on. And the Art of Tradition was just straight up beats and rhymes and nothing more, nothing less. I was a little nervous about it, but I'm glad you all appreciate it for real.
Oh, definitely, man. Really, really like that joint, man, for sure. Before we go any further, I do want to say, because we had all these technical difficulties, that if you're tuning in just now and you missed it when we did it the first time, please support our friends over at Everybody's Records. They're always supporting the hip hop community here in Cincinnati. So we like to show them love. If you can't get here in person, you can always go to their website, everybodysrecords.com. And tonight, our guest, his album, we've been talking about it here. We're going to get into this album in a second. It's right here. It's the record. There it is. Castaway and Cam the Down Rocker, Art of Tradition. And it made it into our book pretty high. The Boom Bap Review Volume 4. And if you don't have this book, go get it. You can get it at boombapreview.com. Make sure you get that and you can read a little bit about the album, which we're going to get into tonight. But I wanted to start off with Chicago. Being that we always have a lot of Chicago in the room, Profound from Chicago and Castaway, you being from Chicago. What part of Chicago are you from, first of all? And then second, if you can just tell the people a little bit kind of your upbringing, what it was like coming up in Chicago for you.
Oh, man, I am from, as we say in Chicago, I'm from out west, okay? I'm from out west. What we say, west side of Chicago. I'm from out west. I'm from North Lawndale. Majority of my childhood, majority of my upbringing, Garfield Park and then Humble Park. But I spent the bulk of my life in North Lawndale. My whole family is rooted in there. And in regards to my upbringing, I mean, it's like any other, hood, you could say. I'm trying to steer away from being stereotypical, but it's the truth, right? It's certain things that's pretty much common in every hood, But the great thing is, at the time I was coming up, there was still like a little bit of a family essence. You know what I mean? Like if you were from a block, you were all like cousins, and I'm from 19th and Trumbull. So everybody who I grew up with and who was older than me, we're pretty much like cousins. So when we see each other, it's like a family reunion rather than seeing somebody, he used to just live up the block, or she used to live up the block. No, we like family for real. But you have your violence, drug use, lots of trauma. I would be lying to say if it wasn't, it was lots of it. And I'm still dealing with it and addressing it to this day, right? But I'd be lying if I told you it wasn't no beauty. The block parties, the music, the unhealthy food, just so many memories, you know what I mean? It's the hood and I love it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You resonate with any of that profound, being from Chicago yourself?
All of it, man. All of it. He's absolutely right. Like,
we from the same hood, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah, he's right. That a lot of that is gone, man. I mean,
it is.
You know, it's crazy because I don't know if it has to do with anything or when they tore the buildings down, you know what I mean? And then they scattered everybody out, and then you just move people in certain, you jam people in certain sections. And I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either. Like I talk to a lot of people who do a lot of like social justice work, a lot of work in the community. And they come to me for answers because I'm younger. And it's like, I don't know where the change happened, right? I'm in my going on mid 30s. I don't know what happened after us. I'm gonna be honest. Like, I know we was babies having babies. And if my generation was kind of nuts, then imagine what after that and then after that. But I just don't know where it turned into this, right? Like I work with kids and I like to call this the era of the drill. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what happened. Like I don't have any answers. I mean,
you know what? Mm-hmm. I have one person, we've had this discussion offline before, and I had one brother say to me that with his opinion on what happened is that a lot of the addicts from the 90s, the 80s, the 90s, they're the children of the addicts of the 80s mm-hmm. and 90s.
That's me.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Like,
you know
like,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And the parents are younger. That's parents are younger yeah. than they usually, you know, used to be. And, you know, I find it different. I have an 11-year-old. So when I go to the school, yeah. I find it funny that I'm older than a lot of the parents.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I was saying when my era, my generation, we're having babies and we were having babies young. Like, imagine what they're going to be. You know what I mean?
Right.
Having babies, right? Like, I know somebody I grew up with that's a grandparent, and it's like, word? Like, dang. You know what I mean? But I do feel like, you know, when ignorance birthed a new level of ignorance, what you think is going to happen? You know what I mean? So that's happening. And then I also, like, I hate to say it, but we've been influenced by a lot of media as well, right? Mm-hmm. As much as I love hip hop, I can't say a certain segment of it, not the whole culture, because I don't want our culture taking blame for all of this stuff.
Yeah.
But there is a certain aspect that I'd be looking like, damn,
for real.
If this person didn't say that, I wonder, you know what I mean?
Right.
I knew when rap was a bad influence was around 2008, 2009. I was in the studio with my friend Sino, who's an engineer, and he's an engineer and a rapper named Subu. And I'm like, yo, do you realize, like, we from Chicago, we don't do that. And he said to me, like, yo, that's what Lil Wayne be shouting out. He not knowing that that's a blood thing, that's a Cali thing.
Right.
They don't know, so they be picking up whatever these rappers be saying. And unfortunately, a lot of these rappers ain't really like that. You know what I mean?
Mm.
They push whatever ignorance that, I ain't talking about Chicago, because you know Chicago, we get busy. But at that time, they wasn't really on that. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't built like that. And they pushing this narrative and this ignorance, and our youngins are picking it up. And they living it out in its truest form. And it's like, just made it. I'm not saying it's the sole reason, but, and I work with kids. I look at some of the stuff they be saying, some of the stuff they be doing, and I'm just like, damn, man, like we really created some casualties out here. I ain't I'm not blaming the entire culture. Like, don't get it messed up.
Yeah.
Like, don't. And I'm not blaming gangster rap either, because I love me some gangster rap. You asked me what my favorite album was, Reasonable Doubt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Gangsta, you feel me? But it just seemed like it went from like gangster to like ignorant.
Mm.
And to me, like, some albums, they just be pushing the envelope a little too far for me.
Yeah.
Some songs, I should say, and our kids pick up on that. So we can talk about that all day.
Yeah. Do you feel like a big part of it is a lack of balance for certain kids? Because I feel like, go ahead.
For sure. I mean, anytime we have a lack of balance or anything, it's going to breed some unhealthy qualities, you know, right? Like if we eat constant unbalanced, unhealthy food, there's no vegetables or there's no protein, like something's going to come up jacked up, right? And that's how it is with the radio. I'll admit, right? I came up in the 90s, early 2000s. There was still some balance, even though it was still pretty commercial. We still had our Nas's on the radio. I even heard Lil Brother on the radio one time when I was in high school. One time. And that one time was enough for me because I heard my niece singing it. And I was like, I was smiling because I wasn't a big radio guy. But when I heard that and I knew she knew the hook, I was like, yes. Now you got like strip club songs on the radio. And I'd be looking like, what? Like, they're supposed to be played at night. Like, this might. Why does baby know? Like,
yeah.
You know, so I do think a lack of balance is a big problem. It's a big problem. It's a big problem. And that's the one thing I hate about like mainstream culture and radio in general, right? Like, where's the balance? I'm not telling you to stop playing. I'm trying not to curse, but I'm not trying to tell you to stop playing ignorance. Like, I like ignorance to a degree. You know what I mean? Yeah. I like some ignorant stuff. I don't want to be consumed in content with a lot of heaviness all day.
Right.
And I need some mindless activity, but it can't be the whole way through.
Right.
Like, something, you know, and it's just nothing on the radio.
Yeah. No. When you were coming up in Chicago, did you feel like you had like mentors, you know, in the hip hop world that were like kind of guiding you?
Well, I look at it like this. I feel like hip hop was invented in the hood, by the hood. So even if you weren't a rapper, you was hip hop because you was in the hood.
Right.
So in regards to having people who lived it, yeah, I had great mentors, like my older cousins and my sister. Let me start with my sister. My sister's like maybe 12 years older than me. My sister Angel, she's a hip hop head. Like she don't listen to none of that cute stuff. You know what I mean? Like she listened to the real. Like I was a huge Bone Thugs and Harmony fan, still is. But she used to always say, bro, there's other stuff out there. And it was around 2001. I was in seventh grade. That's how young I am, or old, depending on who's watching. The Blueprint came out. And I heard The Takeover, and I was just into messiness. And I'm like, oh, he talking about somebody. Oh, he talking about Nas. And I know my sister loved Nas. So I just started digging into all these New York rappers and all their drama. And the next thing you know, I'm hooked into bars and in lyrics. And, and my sister's like, all right, if you like this, all right, here you go. It was written, bam. You like this, Like Water for Chocolate, bam. Mm. You like this, Reflection Eternal, bam. I'm in seventh grade. And unfortunately, we had no teacher. We were so bad, we ran away. So all I did was listen to music. And anybody ask you, like, anybody tell you in my classroom, I was sitting in the corner and I would listen to all this, like, mature stuff for my age. So my sister was my biggest influence. And then my friend Marcus Thorne, he was getting me into, like, the Roots and Black Star. My sister liked that stuff, too. But this is all he listened to. My sister had a little gangster in her, so she'd pull up with some Beanie Siegel, with some Jadakiss, along with the Talib Kweli's and Mos Def. Whereas my friend Marcus was all into Ruckus Records.
Yeah, yeah.
I had those influences going for me. So I feel like I got the best of both worlds. Like, I'm from the hood. We got our gangster stuff. We got our ratchet stuff. But then I also had my intellectual influences too, you know. And then in Chicago, it's a melting pot, right? Like, you know, you have those people who listen to only like East Coast rap, and you have those people who listen to gangster rap, and you have those people who listen to 8-Ball MJG, you know, UGK. So I got like the best of both worlds. I loved it all.
Yeah, yeah. So. That's dope. That's dope, man. I love it. You know, goes back to balance. Sounds like you had a nice balance. You know, nice
balance. That's why I tell like hip hop heads who want to debate with me, don't. You know, I used to listen to stuff I didn't like just to argue with people.
you gotta know the opponents.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. So you earlier you mentioned education and educating kids. Can you talk about that a little bit? Like, what is it that you know, fills up your days?
All right, so I can't give too much information about who I work for. If you know me, you know. But I do work in education. I am a educational leader. I do focus on the social emotional learning aspect of education because I was never a teacher. I came into working in education because I wanted to help, right? It took me a long time to figure it out. I thought I hated school. I hated school. Mm. I always kept one foot in and one foot out. But that one foot in, I feel like kind of saved me low key. I got in because I wanted to figure out, all right, where the kids at, where they spend most of their day at, and how can I be in there with them to kind of get them to avoid some of the pitfalls and the traumas that I've avoided.
Yeah.
The longer I'm in education, the more I realize that you can come in with this mentality, think you're going to save them, but it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not, you can't save the world. Like, you really just want to be the best person, the best mentor you can, but thinking you're going to save the world, it ain't going to work. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just want to give them the best skills that you have in your arsenal. And that's what I do. I pretty much, well, I used to. Now I'm teaching adults how to teach. And I really, really, really love teaching those who aren't from our culture, like how to deal with it, especially those who come with that save a Negro or save a Latino complex. It's like, no, you come here, we're going to eat you up, bro.
Right.
Like straight up. And I say we because I still feel like I'm a part and I live in the community I serve, in the communities I serve. So I'm outside. But yeah. I stay, you know, in the background because I don't want the kids like finding me and be like, hey, he lived right there. No, y'all ain't come to my crib. You feel me?
Right.
10 years with you kids. We good. But no, that's what I do. That's what I do. And it's funny you asked me because I was in the studio not too long ago and somebody asked me, would you rather be rapping or would you rather do this? And I say both. To me, they go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. No, I'm living my authentic truth.
Are they, man, that's so dope. We commend it. We love hip hop educators, and we've had several on the show before. Are you inspired or influenced by other hip hoppers that are in education as well?
Nah, I'm gonna be honest. No, you know why? Because up until now, I separated the two.
Yeah.
I took a trip to New York, and I met another educator. She's a poet, and she was telling me not to separate the two because working in education can be so political. And I kind of got my political mask on and I would like hide Castaway. And I still have to for professional reasons.
Sure.
Well, Castaway has to hide certain things because I don't want people to think I'm promoting something within the organization I work for. No.
Right.
But it's a part of who I am. Even if I wasn't working in this organization, I'd still be trying to help out kids in some way.
Yeah.
So, my truth, but I wouldn't say I'm inspired by them, probably because I don't pay no attention to them.
Sure.
I don't want to sound negative, but I really don't. Like, I just be trying to live my own truth and still trying to figure that out as I grow. But when I do see them, I'd be like, yo, that's super dope.
Yeah.
Dope. And I'd be wanting to link up with them when I actually get a chance to talk to them. But I don't go out and say, yo, I'm inspired by that person. No.
Right. Sure. Well, we'll invite you on. We did a educators night about a year ago, actually. It's time to do another one. And we had educators on that also are hip hop artists or used to be hip hop artists or continue to be hip hop artists. And they're also in the classroom in some way. So
the kids inspire me, though. I ain't gonna lie. They inspire me. They keep me on my toes. You know, I went viral once as a dean. I was battling this one kid who was trying to like come for my wig. Like, he ain't know I rhyme, but I walked in lunch and he was just spitting bars at me just randomly. And I know my hairline receding, but he ain't have to go that hard. So I had to put him in his place, you feel me? I had to. And now he's super dope. He make music and he's super fire. Like, I'm super proud of him. He's super dope.
And you said that moment went viral?
Yeah, man. The principal I work for, she put me on. She's like, so you're the rapping dean, huh? Nah, I had to remember if I cursed or not, man. I don't think I did, but
that's great, man. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. So I wanna switch gears here a little bit and have some fun. Do a little segment called This or That. Now that people know you a little bit and your upbringing, get to know, you know, kind of where your mind's at on a few things. All right. So this or that, would you rather, you got a night off, would you rather grab a nice book, get lost in it, or turn on Netflix?
Dang, I can't say it depends on what's on Netflix, or I have to do Netflix as a whole.
Would you do both? Are you both kind of guy you like
I'm
to get
a documentary guy? So if it's a dope documentary, okay. I'm gonna go with the Netflix. If it's a dope documentary on Netflix, I'm going there.
Okay. All right. Word. Have you seen a good documentary lately?
Dang, on Netflix
or just on anything? Doesn't have to be Netflix.
I'm always finding stuff. I did watch that one with the bodybuilder chick who killed her husband. I just saw that one. I don't remember her name. It was like bodybuilder lady. Caucasian woman who really liked black guys, big black guys, and she kept marrying them. And she married this dude. He was like Mr. Olympia or something. And she killed him.
Well, yeah, stay away from her.
Well, she in California. We good. I don't think she wants to marry no Chicago guys. She gonna think we a little bit too different. But yeah, it's like it was in the trending thing, and I'm like, who is this? And I just watched it. I watched random documentaries. Like, I like that stuff.
Dope. All right, next one. Are you a deep dish kind of guy or thin crust?
All right, before reflux kind of eliminated my joy for pizza, thin crust.
I'm from Chicago, man. Told you to.
That's crust. What you said, profound.
I
yeah
told you. I told you.
Deep dish is for the tourists, and
I told you man,
that's what profound said earlier.
Yeah, I don't get it twisted. If somebody ordered it, I'm gonna eat it. If I you know
right
this reflux situation, but you know, thin crust. Oh. You know, most pizzas in the hood, they ain't even got no deep dish.
Facts.
Hey, I man,
home run in, baby. Ain't no deep dish in home run in.
Home run in. Come on, man.
Yeah, I grew up a home run in on 31st. Yeah,
31st Street. Come on, man. Stop playing with me.
Yeah.
All right. So if you visit Chicago and don't want to appear like a tourist, don't get deep dish. Get thin crust. I feel you on the acid reflux. That's no, I get that from time to time, man. That's no joke.
Oh man, it messed up. It totally, I don't want to say ruined my life. It just flipped it upside down. Like it literally, it changed my whole health situation. If you listen to my music, I get into how this whole health journey, I rap about my health journey, and it started with reflux.
Yeah.
I think if I was better educated and I wasn't left to rely on the internet back then, I would have had a better situation years later.
Yeah, that hurts. All right, next one. Would you rather have breakfast for dinner or dinner for breakfast?
Breakfast for dinner.
Breakfast for dinner, okay, all right.
Yeah, I hate to admit, I like pancakes a lot. I ain't gonna hold it. I like pancakes a lot. I do.
What do you like, the butter on them or the cereal?
Nah,
or both?
I don't do the butter. You know, I'm trying to eat healthy when I can. But if you would have asked me like 10 years ago, I would have said butter, of course. But
yeah.
I like pancakes, man. I like waffles. I like oatmeal. I don't know. It's something about sweets, like, but only in breakfasts. Like, I don't eat candy or nothing like that. But, like, I like breakfast food. I do.
Thanks. All good. All right, we're getting into some music stuff now. Right. Do you prefer singles and short EPs or full-length albums?
I like albums. As long as they're not as long as the death certificate, then I'm good.
Yeah, it was a long album.
Yeah, like, that's the longest I could go. This new streaming era, I don't like it. But if they're longer than the death certificate, I can't take it.
Yeah, it gets a little long. All right, two more. Studio or stage? Would you rather be locked in a studio making music, or studio? You rather get out on stage performing?
Studio.
Yeah?
Yep.
That's dope. All right, last one. Wow. If one of these two producers could produce your next album entirely, would you go with Pete Rock or Madlib?
Pete Rock.
Pete Rock, okay.
I'm going to go with Pete Rock. The reason why, the main ingredient album.
Yeah, that's a dope album.
I think that album's so underrated, bro. Like Madlib because I love all the collaborations with Freddie Gibbs. Mm-hmm. Everyone likes Mad Villain. You feel me?
Oh yeah.
Madlib grew on me as I got older, but Pete Rock is just always, he rarely makes a beat that I don't like.
Yeah. Yeah, and no, I feel that. I feel that. All right. Well, thanks for playing along. This or that. This concludes our segment. And I want to jump into this new album. Man, it's so good. The Art of Tradition. Got it right here for those of you watching. There it is. I don't know how big it is. Before we jump into the album, though, how did you come across Cam the Down Rocker?
All right. So his man's Maximilian. I knew him from MySpace. This is my secret. I used to go on MySpace and I used to find producers that sound. I used to go for the producers I like and then go to their comments. And if I see somebody say you're my inspiration and they're from another country, I'll go holler at them.
Hmm.
So Max was either on a J Dilla page. No. I don't know what page I found Max, but Max and I have been working for years and I needed somebody to do some scratches. And he put me on a Cam.
Hmm.
And Cam got cool. Cam asked me to rap on one of his beats. He did some favors for me. I owed him one. And I didn't know he was that cold. You feel me?
Yeah.
But I did one track for him and then I let it be. Then pandemic hit and he sent me a batch of beats and was like, can I get another feature? And he matched me. I grabbed all them beats and that's how I make that whole album.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, but me and Cam been rocking for a minute. So Cam is like he's one of my producers, you could argue, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He does all the scratches on any record I need, he scratches for me.
Well, he's a good producer to have, man, because he makes some really good beats.
I slap on him, and that's my man. I slap on him. Man, I'm gonna shut my mouth because I don't want people to think I didn't like the album. But I slept on it myself.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great album. It's a great album. If there's one song on the, like, if someone had, you know, in this day and age, I know you mentioned about, you know, like the streaming era. I know people's attention spans seem like they're getting shorter and shorter. So if you had someone out there that could give you one song, what would be the one song you would point them to off the album?
Either Rooftop or Vibe.
Mm, okay.
I had the most fun making those two. Rooftop or Vibe? No, I'm sorry. I keep calling it Vibe. Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. And Vibe is because I made a Vibe magazine reference that I thought was super ill and went over everybody's head. But Nice or Vibe? One of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dow Jones. People like the Dow Jones intro.
I like that. I like City of Confessions. Yeah. I think City Confessions, I think might be my favorite. But that Nice song. Man, you were just breezing over that beat on Nice, man. You're
I'm
just
smiling because that's how I felt when I was rapping it.
Yeah,
like, I felt like I was just skating, and I'm not trying to brag, but
you were
fun doing that song. It was really fun,
and it was the perfect title because that's one of those songs you listen to like a one of your verses, be like, oh, he's nice.
Yeah, thank you.
No, it's just like it's so.
Cam named all them songs. I'm the only one that I only named Dow Jones. Everything else Cam did.
Oh, really? You just recorded them and then he named them?
Yeah, Dow Jones was the only one I named.
That why'd you name it Dow Jones?
Cause I wanted some money. I was thinking of the Dow Jones joint. I keep it real. I was like, man, it was in the pandemic. I'm like, I wanted some money for something. I don't know what I was tweaking over. And I'm like, man, if I had some stocks or something. And I was like, ooh, Dow Jones. Stocks. Dow Jones. Yeah. And that was the last song I did for the project.
Yeah. That's dope. Oh, that's the last. Oh, wow. That's cool. That's the first song on there.
It was like Dumb Late. And I remember being mad about something. But I did the whole album in one day. And that was the last song.
Wow. That's dope. Man, one day. That's impressive. Did you have it all written? Or did you write it and record it in one day?
I was working on the LP Lone album. And I got all those beats and I took a break from it. Anybody who knows me, you know, I kind of write and record pretty fast. And okay. I got my own setup at the crib that I was using. And I just started hearing all those beats and I just felt like, damn, this feel like 1992. And I just rapped about rap. That's all I wanted to do is just rap about rap. And it's rare you get me in those moments where I just rap about rap. So I just rapped about rap all day.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great, you know, just so much hip hop, like the whole Griselda movement and like Rock Marciano, which I love. I love all that music, but too much of that is just like, just kind of weighs on you. And this is just
fresh
air, you know?
I love that Griselda, that ignorant stuff. But you know, the reason why I that album, The Art of Tradition, ended up growing on me is because when we decided to do the Boom Bad thing, it didn't sound like that, right? It didn't
sound
like that. And it could have, because that sound is pretty much easy on the ear now, but we took a different route. We took, we said we're going to take a different time in the 90s.
Yeah.
That way with it, you know what I mean? And I appreciate it more because I could have easily did the Griselda thing.
Yeah, I appreciate it more. And it, you know, goes back to balance. I don't mind the Griselda. I think they make some great music, but you know, I want to hear more, more diversity, you know. Yeah, exactly. It's funny you said 92. Profan, you were off by 2 years earlier when we were rapping. He was like, man, it sounds like he took it back to 94, I think is what you said. But definitely has that essence.
94, like, I was trying to stay away from 94 because of the whole Illmatic reference, right?
Man, it's in that lane, though.
It's in that lane, sure. Yeah.
That's heavy. That's heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Profan, you had any thoughts, comments about the album?
Man, yeah, man. I just want to give you props on how, you know, I'm big on how albums start. And it started perfect, like the way Dow Jones come in and the first line, rapping like I'm 16 bars from heaven, dog. Like, bro. Like, yeah, I mean, like, if you can get into that line for me, please, man, because I don't think you can start a project off any better than that line right there.
Man, that's heavy. I want to sit here and act like I was really thinking that deeply. But the truth is, I don't. When I'm in my zone, I don't think. I don't think. When I have to think, then it ain't good to me. Feel me? But I don't know if people know, I shared with you all a little bit, but I go through a lot of chronic health issues. So I have my moments where I be like, yo, this might be my last time I'm rapping. You feel me? Like, if it, man, I'm gonna say something to y'all and it's gonna really, really, really probably hit y'all a certain way. But this one and another project I was working on was gonna be it for me. I was done. Because all the health issues, me going to school, the type of work I do, it was just weighing on me. It's a lot. So I really be feeling like, man, this might be my last verse or something. You feel me? Because I don't know what's going to happen. But then y'all wrote that damn book and y'all put that book out. Yo, I call my man's like, yo, it's on. No. We putting out all this joint. I'm finna flood them extra crazy next year. Yes, the Boom Bap Review. Man, I was like, what? When I seen who I was in there with, and I'm a little bit competitive. I ain't going to lie. I am competitive. I'm even competitive with my friends, okay? But when I seen somebody who I really like, I'm not going to say who I think is stupid nice, where they were and where I was like, okay, I might be on to something. And my competitive spirit turned to humility. I got a gift here, and I shouldn't just blow it, right? Because at one point, I don't know if people know, Mike Logic knows this because he knows me. At one point it was hurting for me to just talk. So whenever I would speak, it would be pain in my throat. So the rap was out the question. It was a rap.
Oh, wow.
But for some reason I managed to just focus, like when I rap, and then like I do this thing where like in my brain, it's like I move my throat right above the area where I'm in pain, and then I just rap over that. So because of y'all, I'm figuring it out, and I got two special things coming on the way. But with back to that 16 bars from heaven thing, it's like I really felt like during the pandemic, I was dying. I was dying. I really felt that way.
Wow, that's deep.
Real heavy. Yeah. Shout out to Mike Logic too, man. I think, you know, I'm giving Mike a shout too.
Yeah.
Man, but you say a couple of things. There's a couple of things on the album, man. I love the whole thing in general. Things that grab me though, PSA.
Bro. Yo, that was Cam's idea.
Man, dog. Like, Cam's, man, we done all been there, brother.
Cam wanted me to talk about the rappers who he would pay people to do 16s for, and they wouldn't give them the verses back. And then also, like, I've had experiences, I would write things for people, write verses for people, and I wouldn't get a thank you. I'm really big. Like, I know we shouldn't be petty and want our flowers, but if I did something for you, thank me, brother, especially if you wouldn't give me no money. thank me. You feel me?
That's basic.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a selfish thing, but I shouldn't be looking for those type of affirmations, I think. But no, if I helped you out, especially in this music world where everybody's vultures, thank you, bro. Like, I'm super humble. Like, my friend Words, he tell you, I thank him all the time. I thank him all the time.
Yeah, it's important.
We do favors for each other. But I'm serious. Like, I thank you, bro, because you ain't got to do this.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's the least. So yeah, can do. Say thank you.
Dog, it's a doggy dog world, but even in hip hop, it's even worse. You feel me? So like, when somebody do something for you out of love, man, like, ain't nothing wrong with removing the ego and saying thank you.
Right.
It's crazy how people just don't want to do that.
Yeah, and for those that don't know the reference, PSA is just kind of like an interlude where, you know, he's just kind of talking over the beat, you know, airing some things out, which. Which is kind of like a nod to like the 90s era.
It is.
Along with the minute or more, the Cam's interlude where it's just
a beat. You know what that reminds me of? This joint on Resurrection. It was just a beat.
Ooh.
It was just a beat.
I know
beat.
What you're talking about.
Yeah. I can't remember it, but can't remember the title offhand, but it was just a beat. And that's why I appreciated that.
Yeah, and that took me back too, because a lot of those albums from that early to mid 90s, they would have some of the greatest beats as interludes. And when that beat came on, I was like, oh, I'm gonna love this song. And then it was an interlude. I was like, oh no, I want this to be a song.
I said
that beat is so ill.
He put that on after I gave him all the verses. I'm like, bro, I could have rapped on this.
Right. Yeah.
But it works, you know, it works.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about those interludes. Cause remember in the 90s, like there was always dope beats as Primo. Interludes.
Primo.
You know, Primo, Pete Rock. I remember that. I think there was some on Bahamadia's out. They're all over the place. But
In R&B, right? Because I'm a huge R&B head too. As hard as I rap, I'm really an R&B head. And I remember Donnell Jones having this one interlude, Why You Keep Calling Me? And he only had like 30 seconds on the song. I'm like, bro, this should have been a whole song.
Right, yes.
What are you doing? But that's the fun part, because it's going to make you keep pressing rewind.
Exactly. Yes, for sure. Anything else on the album, Profound, that you want to highlight?
Man, Responsible, man.
Mm.
Yeah. You know what? I want to know if you could speak to just a general situation of why Responsible is important. Because I think it was really important that you went there. You know what I'm saying? Like, not to rehash anything. I'm just saying, like, can you generalize it like that?
All good. We're Responsible. That was the first song I did on this album. And surprisingly, it was like my least favorite for a long time. I don't know why. I guess because the intro was so long and I just wanted to go straight in. And I remember recording and I'm like, damn, this damn intro in my way. But first Cam wanted me to talk about it, right? But I can't talk about something unless I lived it. So I remember being this high school guy and all I wanted to do was just find somebody to be under their wing and just rap. And I got screwed a lot because of it, because I was so young. And for a while, that kind of took me out of this like Chicago underground scene, because I ain't trust nobody. I still move like that, and it could be to my detriment. But I don't rock with too many people because I've been screwed a lot when I was young. And that's why I thank God for the internet, because it's like, I don't need to be a part of nobody's label anymore. I don't need to be a part of nobody. Just make the music. And then the second verse, that was real truth. I tell you the truth. My cousins, we all musical, and we had this label called Blade Records. And I was the only oddball who did the boom bap, who did the conscious rap. Everybody else was on some street stuff or some ladies man stuff. And here I am, you know, the youngest one in the clique, the only one who would be able to like pull things together when they fall apart. And then I had like our OG cousin who ran the label, but never really thanked me for all the times they think fell apart, right? And it created some bitterness for a long time. But like when I ended the verse and I say, hey, we both learned from my mistakes and we cool now. We cool, but I was bitter. I was bitter for a long time. And you know, now I'm in a good space where it's just like, I don't do music for money anyway, so what am I tripping over? You feel me?
Yeah.
So we all good, you know. And as far as the first verse being screwed when I was younger, I look back, everybody was trying to figure out their thing, you know? Everybody was trying to figure it out back then, especially before the internet. Like, we was all trying to survive because Chicago ain't had much of a scene like that, you know? And I was a kid. Nope. I was a kid, and I was in this world, and a lot of people were that I was dealing with, they weren't really from where I was from. So, like, a lot of people who was doing boom bap, they was either from the north side or they were from certain spaces in the south side. It wasn't a lot of us west siders doing it, unless they were older than me. And they were, like, grown. I was a teenager, and I'm with street guys. So when I seen people behaving in a way that didn't reflect the crew I was hanging with, you know, like the streets, they weren't following street ethic, I wasn't rocking with it. Mm. I wasn't rocking with it. And I showed it. And sometimes it was to my detriment. Like, if I was at a show and I seen somebody acting a certain way and it wasn't looking like the way we were acting Lawndale as far as putting on respect, I'm fighting. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fighting. Or, you know, if I seen you shady on the business side, I cuss you out and then I keep it moving. Again, fortunately, we all got older. But I wish somebody back then would have just grabbed on to me and would say, yo, I got you. But it wasn't that. It was a lot of taking advantage of me. A lot.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
you asked earlier, you know, why I don't do the 606 thing or why I didn't. Because I didn't feel like I fit in. I'm going to keep it 100. I didn't feel like I fit in. You know, I just did it a few weeks ago for the first time. And I was there supporting my mans. But I didn't feel like I belong. You know what I mean? I never felt like I belong. Even though I might listen to the same music they did, but I was also like from Lawndale. When I was there a few weeks ago, I seen some people who smelled like the world I came from, who looked like the world I came from. And I was happy to see that. But I don't think I would have seen it in my early 20s. I don't think I would have seen it back then like that. And with the mindset I was in, I was too ignorant to be accepting of something different. I was too ignorant. So now it's like, I like everybody. I like everything.
That's funny because I think you would have fit in. You'd have fit in. Listening to this, like if this, you would have fit in at 606. That's what we would. That's what we all were every Tuesday. I was there too until you know you get older, baby started happening. You know what I'm saying? Work started getting in the way. The scene started to change a little bit. You know what I mean? It started to change a little bit, and it was just like, And then I just moved on. So yeah, I feel you though.
I probably musically would have fit in. I don't know about personality.
Musically for sure.
Personality, I was still like semi gooning. I know Mob D say ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. I think that's a lie. Whole lie, because I was half educated guy, half goon, straight up. Straight up, you know. But yeah.
So when we sent you the book, and we put you in there top, you know, the album was in top 30, almost top 20. You mentioned that you were like your competitiveness came out as you were. Was it because you were looking at other artists thinking, "Oh, my album's better than that"?
First of all, y'all got Nas, okay? Nas is like he's my 1B. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Growing up, I tell you the truth, I feel like I learned how to read because of him and Jay-Z. You know what I feel me? Because I wanted to know what they were saying.
Right.
So being a corner with dictionary. So I saw he was number 6. I'm like, what? You mean to tell me? And then Black Thought was 1. I'm like, yo, I'm happy to be in the same group of pages with them guys.
Yeah. You know?
But then I look back and I saw some of the people who I'm like, yo, this dude is dead nice, right? I beat him. But it was also a sense of, thank God, seriously, thank God, because I'm by myself.
Yeah. I'm
everything myself. Like, it's all me. I'm solo dolo. I don't have no label.
Yeah.
I have friends, like, you know, Words, Mike, my guy Lex. Well, Lex is kind of part of my crew. But I don't have, like, people funding me. I don't have a label.
Yeah.
To be on y'all radar and then for y'all to appreciate it that much, it said two things to me, you know. Hey, Dominique, why are you even competing with people who don't even know you're competing with them?
Right.
In your lane. stay in your lane, because the minute you step out, you're going to get knocked off track. You feel me?
Right.
And what you're doing is worth it. And yeah, just focus on you. So
yeah,
I'm like, man, I can't wait for, if they like this, then imagine what's coming down the pipeline on these next two. It's like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, and I want to get into these next two and see what you can and tell us about those. But I'm really, really excited that you mentioned Black Thought and Nas, you know, being in the book. Yeah. Because at one point I thought, man, maybe we should just focus like exclusively on like artists like yourself, much more underground, you know, yeah. Maybe not on a label, definitely not like on a major label. But I really like how the book is formatted now, because it's like, if you make dope music that we think is dope, we're going to recognize it.
Exactly.
So you could have all the money in the world and have all the power behind you, and if you make a dope album like we think Nas did, it's going to be in there, and it might be next to your album that doesn't have all the money behind it in the world. So we really like that mix.
I like that format a lot too, and again it gives all of us who are in there like a bar to reach, right?
Yeah.
To reach. And again, like I'm trying to get in there next year.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I can get in there higher. Like, this making me go over some of the projects I had in the tuck. Like, man, do I really want to put this on there? Okay, maybe take this out. Maybe
right.
Because that's what we all do it for. If you like an MC for real, to be acknowledged by your
yeah, right.
Facts.
Now, facts. There are spiritual goals I have to my music.
Sure.
You know, I still tell fans who love my conscious personal stuff, I'm still a rapper's rapper though. And every now and then I got to come out on some boom bap with some scratches and just bust somebody up one time. I'm trying not to curse, but you feel me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I loved it, man. It was really inspiring.
Good.
It's been on my mind since.
Man, that's dope, man. That's super dope to hear. That inspires me. It inspires us, man. Oh, so man,
keep it going. Yeah. Going. Yeah,
no doubt. Well, same to you. And speaking of keeping it going, can you tell us a little bit about, you mentioned two projects. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're working on now?
All right, so I was already working on a project called Scars. And Scars is based on my life after brain surgery, because I had a brain surgery.
Oh, wow.
I had a brain surgery. This is ill. Art of Tradition, I made it in 2020. Forgot about it. I came home from brain surgery, and then the album was mixed, the mixed and master version of my album was in my email. And I'm like, what? When did I do this? Like, I literally forgot about it.
Wow.
I'm like, yo, this kind of fire, y'all. Like, hold up. But this is life after brain surgery. So it's talking about life after brain surgery. And I could tell you now the sound there is, it has a lot of boom bap on it. But if you're from out west, you already know we got to have a little bit of, you know, bounce, double timing. So I got a little bit of double timing on there. Got a little bit of bounce. But the boom bap here is more in that neo-soulish Robert Glasper lane.
Oh, dope.
So it's more of that.
And yeah.
A friend of mine, same way the Art of Tradition came up, a friend of mine, his name is Lex, but he's also rap. His name is Koya Cruz. He asked me like, yo, would you be interested in doing an EP with my guys, my production team? I said, yeah, because I didn't want to be mean to him and tell him flat out no. But then he caught me one day. I was in the hood, not supposed to be in the hood, looking for something stupid to do. He's like, hey, come to the studio. And I came and I heard these beats. I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. So it has that Alchemist beat butcher DJ Monk.
Okay.
And it's more grimy.
Yeah.
So like that one is taking me back to my childhood. So pretty much it's like a grimier version of Art of Tradition. You know, I have my back where I'm talking stuff, but I'm really telling stories. It's like a full version of me, except just all grimy beats.
Yeah.
I like the Griselda stuff, even though we love the Griselda stuff. We all talk about Griselda a lot in the studio. And we're happy that we kind of like, all right, we see this, we're gonna go this way with it. You know what I mean? And I'm not gonna rap about selling coke and stuff. You know what I mean? I'm gonna rap about some street stuff, but not that. I don't want to glorify that. So I'm looking forward to you hearing both projects, but I think you both gonna like that one more. I already know.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
That. 10 yep. songs, bars on top of bars, and I got a posse cut on there. It's gonna be 6 or 7 of us on there.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, I can't wait to check that out. And Lex Cruz, he's tuning in tonight, so. He said, LOL, you're so nice.
Get out of here. You always saying something corny, man. I love him, Seth, though.
But shout out to Lex Cruz and shout out to Griffin and
The immortal Sid, Griffin,
Marcus. Shout out to everyone that's tuning in on Facebook. Really appreciate it. Marcus said, yeah, that drug dealer music can get old.
I mean, see, I listen to it because it's the world I grew up in. I grew up around. So, you know, I still listen to it. You know what I mean? But you're right. Like, after a while, you do need some balance. You need some balance. For me, it's good gym music. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
And when I'm riding through the neighborhood, I gotta turn it on. I cannot be playing no neo soul when I'm riding through North London. I gotta get my energy up when I'm coming back home. It's like, unfortunately, I need that.
Yeah. No, I think it all goes back to balance. I mean, I would love, like, when I was, you know, getting into hip hop, like, in the 80s and especially in the 90s, especially like early mid 90s, there was just such a diversity in thought, like in the music. You know, you had Too Short and Ghetto Boys and NWA coming on the scene. You had KRS-One and Boogie Down and Poor Righteous Teachers and De La Soul. You know, it's just all these different perspectives.
It was something for everybody.
Yeah.
Something for everybody. And I think I was talking to Lex about that, like me knowing the rappers I know, that's like independent. I don't like calling them underground because to me,
right.
You know, everybody's underground when you think of who's really making money, who ain't. You feel me?
Right.
But when I think of the independent artists I know, I like the variety. You know what I mean? I like the variety. You know, I know people who are coming out with some stuff next year, and I'm happy to be amongst the group of albums, and we just giving people options. You feel
me? Yeah, definitely. That's definitely
what we need.
Yeah,
but I won't end on that list though. I ain't gonna lie. I won't end on that list. I'm gonna go over this album 10 times. So I can make sure I'm in the top 10.
Well, we're gonna give it a thorough listen, man. That's for sure. Give it a thorough listen. Yeah, can't wait. So be on the lookout for those albums coming soon. And if you don't have your copy yet, this is The Art of Tradition.
Yes.
By Castaway and Cam the Down Rocker. You can get it on the Bandcamp. So just search their name. Bandcamp.
We about to announce it really
soon. What's up?
Out, y'all. Really soon we're gonna be sold out. It's gonna be my third final album that's sold out.
Oh, dope. Yes, what's up? Yeah, so head on over there, buy the vinyl, buy the digital download, whatever. If you can't do it, go get the stream and go on the streaming, find the music. Definitely check it out.
Go to 606 Records in Pilsen. Go support my man Drew. He got the last of them. So y'all better.
Okay. There you go. Go get that album. It's really, really dope. Super dope. All right. Speaking of super dope albums, I want to finish off the podcast here celebrating some albums that I'm pretty sure that you like. But we want to kind of go back to that this or that. We'll do it in narrative form. We did it. I forget who we did this with before, but let's say you're at the record store, all right? And times are tough, right? Yeah. Times are tough. You don't have a whole lot of money right now. You only have about $15, enough to get one of these albums. So you have to make a decision. Are you going to get Freddie Gibbs and Madlib, Pinata, or Freddie Gibbs and Madlib, Bandana?
Bandana.
Ooh, why Bandana?
I love both. Both of them are in my like best albums of the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
Bandana, because it didn't take much time to grow on me. I liked it instantly.
Okay.
When I got the Pinata, I was still trying to figure out both Freddie and Madlib. So it took some time to grow on me.
Yeah.
But also that one song, Palmolive, that beat alone is like, give me that.
Yeah.
Give me that. Yeah.
That is dope.
I love Freddie though. Freddie nice.
Yeah. And he's right there, right? Right in Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Or it used to be. All right. You're back at the store. Times are still rough. All right. And you can either get Reaching by Diggable Planets or Blowout Comb. Yeah.
Blowout Comb all day.
Really?
All day. That's one of my favorite albums of all time. Both of them are really good, but Blowout Comb, I am consciously, emotionally, and spiritually connected to the album.
Oh yeah, how so?
I play the whole thing all the way through. It's one of those albums that get me like just ready to just take on the world and step into my authentic self, remind me of the struggle that's going on and the fight for it, but I can still be cool and be, you know, chill about it too. I ain't gotta be one of the people up screaming and on my soapbox. I can be chilling and helping people at the same time. And yeah, the beats.
I feel that. Okay. Doing a little break from the this or that type of segment, and just want to know what you think about this album or the artist. If you haven't heard the album, just the artist. This is Sky Zoo, All the Brilliant Things.
Sky Zoo, so fire to me. I don't care what nobody say. The last song on that album, that sample, I can't think of the name. That's that last song on the album's in my top 25 played on my Apple Music. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm a huge Sky Zoo fan. I got all his joints on vinyl.
Hey, do you have a favorite Sky Zoo album?
Wow. It was the Dream Deferred for a while.
But that's you know a good what? One.
I'm going to keep it 100. That Milestone Project.
Yeah.
The Milestone Project. That project's so good that it made me think every father figure in my life, because mine weren't really that good. But I'm like, yo, it made me really think every father figure in my life. It made me say, like, I know y'all don't listen to rap, but this is the one y'all should check out. You feel me?
Yeah, that is a great project. If that was a full-length album, that would probably be my favorite album.
It's really good, too, though. I can't.
Which one?
That one right there, the most recent
one. Oh, yeah, All the Brilliant Things?
Yeah, All the Brilliant Things. It's that last beat, though. It was just that, like, what? Yeah.
That joint, that was the number one album in our book last year. Dope
man,
album.
What an album.
All right. Going back to the record store. You can only get one.
I could do this all day.
You can only get one. You can get King's Disease 1 or King's Disease 2.
Two?
Yeah.
Too easily. Even though that intro on 1 is crazy.
Yeah, that's a dope intro. That
intro, but 2 all day, man. Just the song, Nobody. With Lauryn Hill.
Yeah. Nowhere.
Nowhere. Yeah, that song.
Nobody.
Crazy.
Nobody. It's Nobody.
The only thing I don't like about King's Disease 2 is that Eminem verse. All that Eminem verse on EPMD. That can go somewhere. Like, somewhere else. It would have been perfect if that verse was on there.
That whole song, and then like YKTV.
I like YKTV. Remember, I'm still for Hood.
It might have been one. But it felt like it didn't fit, though.
Nah, it fit. It came out.
You think so?
It came out in the summer too. I was blasting that joint.
But if you think of the rest of the album,
it felt to you?
Okay.
The type I need that fun song. You feel me? Like,
yeah.
I'm still single. Once I get married and have kids, then maybe I wouldn't want to hear it. But for right now, I'm still kind of young and dumb. So give me a little bit of that.
All right. Since we did Nas, we got to do this now. All right, you're back at the store, mm-hmm. and you can get Reasonable Doubt or The Blueprint.
Those are my favorites too.
We stumped them profound.
All right, if I wanted to listen to beats, Blueprint. But if I wanted some of the best rapping I ever heard in my life, Reasonable Doubt. I'm gonna go Blueprint.
Blueprint it is.
And that hurts. That hurts because Reasonable Doubt is, it's on my wall at the crib. You feel me? But Blueprint is when I fell in love with Jay-Z, but also when I fell in love with lyric driven hip hop. Because before I was all into Bone Thugs and Harmony. Not saying they ain't got, it's still my favorite group next to Wu-Tang. But Blueprint is when I started paying attention to what they was actually saying. It was like, I can understand it. He's saying stuff. I'm like, ooh, I got to think about this for a minute.
Yeah.
Then when I start digging into the catalog of Jay, I learned that's Jay dumped down. That ain't even advanced Jay, but right. That is such a vibe. It's a vibe. And sometimes it ain't always about the bars. It's about how the album make you feel.
Yeah.
And that one makes me feel better.
I feel like this album is the best example of an album underground, like a really underground hip hopper and like a casual music fan can both enjoy.
Yeah.
Now there's some like super duper underground that hate Jay-Z for different reasons, but for the most part, like everyone likes this album, you know?
That album also that was the first album in my lifetime that I seen stop everything. Right. Mm. Like when it came out, every car was playing it. Everybody was talking about it at school. And I'm in elementary school. Everybody was talking about it. And I'm like, what is this album? And then my sister played it for me in the car. And I'm like, this what I've been missing? Y'all been hiding this from me? Like that album stopped everything. And then Stillmatic came after and kind of did the same thing, but it was because of that album.
Yeah. And I love Nas. But
I love Nas too. Nas is my 1B, Jay's my 1A.
Yeah, I think I like Nas better, but like as much as I love Nas, Stillmatic, I think The Blueprint is a much better album than Stillmatic, yeah. But that's my personal opinion. Okay. All right, the last one. All right. Again, times are rough, man. You ain't got enough money for one of these, but you got to walk out with one. We got Mecca and the Soul Brother, a Pete Rock and CL Smooth, and the main ingredient.
Whoa. How you do this? I know.
I know what you're going to say.
I know the peers and everybody going to want me to say Mecca and the Soul Brother, but I'm going main ingredient. For me, I like the production better on that album. Yeah. I do. There's a song with what's that one dude? I and I. Like I love that beat. Like it's just hard, but it's also smooth, and it's just I can play it all the way through. I love Mecca and the Soul Brother, but I just can't play it as much as that one. Like that's probably my most played vinyl as far as hip hop in my house. That album.
Yeah, I'm excited that you picked this one because I'm with you. I like this album better. I went back and forth for many years, but I finally decided, yep, I think I like this one more. It's just, I don't know, man. It's just, I feel like it's Mecca and the Soul Brother, but just a little better to me.
Yeah, and I don't understand why people hated that album. Like,
did people hate it?
Or critics, you should say. They gave bad reviews. I'm like, y'all.
Really?
This is why I don't trust critics. I don't trust critics, and I don't trust people on the internet. Like, no, I need you to listen for real. That album, I like it better, man. And I feel pretty saying that, but it's my reality. It's the same thing with Reasonable Doubt and Blueprint. Like, I think Reasonable Doubt is a way better album lyrically. It's not even close, but the Blueprint got that vibe. It's like you just want to, it's the same thing. That album's a vibe.
Yeah, totally. Wow. Although Sid is tuning in, shout out to Sid. He would go at Mecca, but much love for you.
I feel him.
Nothing wrong with that.
I think They Reminisce of You Over You is the greatest hip hop beat of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean the singles. I think that there was two singles off of Mecca that I think are better than all of every song on Main Ingredient. But overall, I think Main Ingredient is better. Yeah. So, cool. And last question in this, I was wondering this, but Ian Charles asked it on Facebook. He said, what non-hip-hop go-to vinyl do you play in your home?
Non-hip-hop vinyl. Jeez. All right. It's a toss-up. This probably throw people off. It's a toss-up between two. I'm going to go D'Angelo.
Mm. Which one?
Voodoo.
That I'm so good.
Voodoo, and this is gonna throw people off, but believe it or not, Willie Colon, the Hustler.
Huh?
The Hustler, Sasa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, it's all good, man.
You know what? I take that back. Santana. I don't know which album it is. It's on my wall. I'll take a picture and post it. That album got the best of both worlds because it got this R&B soul singing over these Latin beats. Oh, that's perfect for me. That's perfect.
Are you a jazz head?
Yes.
What are some artists that you really enjoy jazz wise?
Of course the cliches are Coltrane, Miles Davis, but there's this new dude. His name is John Armand Jones. He fire, bro. Like
John Armand Jones. I'm gonna write that down.
Yeah, man. He's dope. I think it's John Armand Jones. I know I'm spelling it wrong, but I know his last name is Armand Jones. I discovered him in the record store. He's dope. He's dope. But I am a jazz head. I like all music except country. I'm good. Country in that crazy heavy death metal rock.
Yeah.
But if you like it,
yeah.
Ooh, I don't really like it.
Do your thing. It's all good. Well, listen, man, the last thing we do before we get out of here is give shout outs. So we'll turn it over to Profound first to give some shout outs. I'll give a few and then we'll let you do the final shout outs
of
the night. Yeah. Profound, man, you still with us, man? You have some shout outs for us? What happened to Profound? I see you, Profound. There you are. What's up, man? Who you want to shout out tonight, Profound?
Man, I'm gonna keep it short and sweet. We're gonna shout out Castaway, man, brother. Good to meet you, man. I'm glad you came through. Respect and everything you do. Please keep on doing it. And we need the link for sure, especially being from the crib.
Yes.
Definitely on that Lawndale. You know how we do
it. Gotta do something for Lawndale.
Holy City, you know how we do it.
Yup.
Man, and then you know the kids that's making a whole bunch of noise out there, and Till and Io and the crew, Joe, Bo, and Stowe, and Chicago, man. That's how we do it.
Yeah, word up. Yeah, I got a short list tonight too. Want to shout out Io Mas Marad. Hang in there, man. You're doing good work. Chicago hip hop in general, outside of New York City, I think it was Chicago hip hop that inspired me the most as a youngin, and so I listened to a lot of albums from Chicago, and it doesn't stop. So I want to shout out Cam the Down Rocker, obviously, and Castaway for this brilliant album. One more plug for it: if you have not heard it, go listen to it. It's The Art of Tradition, and it's a really, really good album. And before I shout out our guest, I do want to shout out the book that we wrote. I'm very proud of this book. This is our fourth edition of the Boom Bap Review. Yep. We're trying to highlight dope boom bap hip hop music. And so if you like boom bap, you like hip hop, we encourage you to check it out. You can get it at boombapreview.com. Finally, shout out to you, Castaway. Appreciate you taking some time to be here. Thank you for your patience with us to get through our technical difficulties tonight. And thank you for persevering. Sounds like you've been through a lot, you know, with your health and just with your life. And I just appreciate you being here and thriving through it all and making some great music for the world to enjoy. So I appreciate it. I appreciate you. And with that, I'll turn it over to you for the final shout outs of the night.
Man, I want to give a shout out to YouTube, first of all, for even just checking me out, checking out my music, and appreciating it, and then putting it so high up in that list. It really inspired me. Like, it really inspired me. And y'all don't know what y'all did, and I mean that in the most humblest way. Like, y'all really pushed me in the greatest way. So I appreciate that. I want to shout out just the people who I consistently do this with. Cam, for sure, my guy Cricket Boy. My guy Lex, shout him out. My guy Jonathan. Man, my cousin Tone, my brother C-Note. Dang, man, there's so many people. I just thank everybody who I work with, you feel me? Shout out to my guy Lester, my guy RP. Some of y'all may or may not know him from Green Lights. That's my guy. Shout out Mike. Shout out Words. And shout out my guy Gio. And I'm going to leave it at that. And everybody who I love and who love me. And again, thanks to you all.
Cool. And on that note, we say peace. 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 We'll see y'all in 2 weeks with Dante from Mood. So come on back in 2 weeks, y'all. Peace.
Peace.